Ed and I are back for 2022, and we're catching up on everything that happened during the Christmas and New Year's break. Although Santa was carrying plenty in his sack, it doesn't look like he had many gifts for Joe Biden. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton, author and freelance journalist, as well as host of this podcast. Catch US of Ed every week wherever you find good podcasts, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well at US of Ed. Let's kick off with a story that unfortunately has dominated our headlines non-stop over the last couple of years, COVID. Here in Australia, in New South Wales, over Christmas and New Year's, we saw COVID cases absolutely explode. My partner Tess caught it. We're not quite sure how I didn't, and whether I had it and didn't show symptoms. Huge, huge numbers of cases, but far fewer deaths. How does the situation in the States and generally speaking compare, Ed?
Well, it does. It compares in the sense that there are a large number of cases, a disproportionate number. The cases seem to be going down now, as they are in England, and the deaths are going down a bit. But people getting long-term illness and substantial illness use in the States remains high. And what I've heard, and I'm not a scientist here, is too many Americans have comorbidities. They have overweight, they have heart disease, they have liver disease, they have disease in the urinary tract, other kinds of things that are exacerbated by any kind of COVID. So Omicron exacerbates if you have diabetes. So if you have high diabetes, you can be sick and you can even die even though you've had two shots, because it's a new version of the disease that your body hasn't learned to fight. But even there, the number of people with these problems have low death rates because the vaccines are effective in stopping the most severe problems. So we can thank ourselves for that. But beyond that, there are now some treatments for COVID that have just been approved here in Australia and approved in the United States. But if you catch disease within the first 5 days, you can knock it out before it starts attacking your internal organs. And let's hope that's used. I have my own biases as to who should get it, but we don't need to go there.
The Supreme Court has come down against some of the Biden administration's mandates for businesses in a decision that's drawn some ire towards the conservative makeup of the court. Although it's worth noting, it's not blocking all of them. It's not blocking the sort of entire Biden agenda on these ones. A lot of reliance, I think, on common sense, which is something, I don't know, Ed, I think the past few years has shown is kind of in short supply.
I think here they're suggesting this is an overreach. And the way the package was working, you're an employer that hires 100 people. What if those 100 people are insurance people sitting in an office versus 100 people in a hospital? So it was so broad and so inclusive that it was difficult to show the need to encompass everyone. But what comes out of this, since the government did move in this direction, the Supreme Court says if you have a government contract, you must comply. That means almost all those employers of over 100 people have government contracts. It is very hard to employ 100 people and not have a government contract. One of the biggest organizations against this was a meat operation in Texas. Well, I don't want any COVID patient or COVID infected person serving my meat. And the court has basically said, if you can find a specific reason like that, and a healthcare worker, it's fine. Now, it seems to me that this court is going to give in on a few issues, on the abortion issue in Texas, but they'll probably take away the bounty hunter piece of it. So they can knuckle down and give stern, clear opinions on other issues, as they just did today. Trump came to the court asking that his papers that were taken done during January 6th, that are the notes and things in his office, were private matters for the president, which is usually the case. But the court says, we've been there with Nixon. And pretty much at least 8.5, the person who had some difference didn't say they were voting no, but they gave him a little bit of slack. So I'd rather have the cases come down hard on Trump and the sedition and Trump's business deals and all the real things that can destroy the democracy, and let COVID go.
Today, a year on from Biden swearing in, Biden's signature Build Back Better bill looks like it's pretty much a ruin. I mean, toward the end of last year, we were kind of holding out hope for this one. But over Christmas break, we saw Joe Manchin in particular continue to reject parts of the bill which he had negotiated for. Manchin's goals, I think, are inarguably the same as Republicans now, and Kristen Sinema as well. Obstruction for the sake of obstruction.
Yes, I agree with that. I don't know how Biden comes back from this, because he's supposed to be the supreme negotiator, and he turns out to be inept at that. He has to rekindle, reorganize, and fight a new fight on different grounds. Let's hope he can get that act together. He still seems to have the energy for it. He seems to have the nous for it. Let's see if he can get this ball across. COVID has taken up so much time and energy. And now the Russians have come in with a new distraction. But if the infrastructure bill kicks in, as it should, by this summer, and jobs keep going up, the jobless rate in the United States is pretty low already and going lower. And a couple of these bills get through, I think you could do a deal with the Republicans on the child care program, because several Republicans want to do that. I think you can do something with them on the program that gives tax exemptions to children of low-income people. I think you can get some of those things through, but you have to come at it with a Republican piece to it that will serve as a shield to get it through, because the Republicans can't oppose everything and win elections.
It is what Biden is talking about now, breaking the bill down into these chunks, you know, putting it down into chunks. And that does include the early childhood stuff and climate, you know, climate policy. But, you know, we've seen this bill cut down by bits and pieces already, you know, bits and pieces left by the wayside. We've seen the figure when it came from, what, $4.5 trillion down to $1.75, and still that can't get passed. I mean, more processes, more votes, can that be seen as successful?
Yeah, I'm going to hold my thunder on that one, because I think this is just another angle approaching the same thing. And small victories may be better than big ones.
Well, look, the other part of this is the fight for voting rights. And look, in spite of high demand for Democrats to take action and looming fears that Republicans are going to continue to obstruct and gerrymander democracy to death in some places, again, the Biden administration seems paralyzed with this just sort of coming back to endless debates about the filibuster. People. Yeah.
To the same two people. And why they're holding on to this unholy grail is beyond me, because they could do carve outs very easily. They have nothing to gain from this that I can see. I don't live in West Virginia and I don't live in Arizona, but the people I do know who live in Arizona are pissed. And it may mean that the senator who's coming up for election to fill the vacant term will lose the election because the Democrats are so disgruntled with the Democrats, they won't vote for him. And this can affect Warnock and Georgia as well.
Yeah, I mean, Biden at the moment, you know, he reminds me of is our own former Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd. You know, he came into the role with a lot of momentum, a lot of enthusiasm for his position. He kind of floundered. I mean, in Rudd's case, he obviously got rolled. That's not going to happen to Biden. But there was obviously after that a lot of disunity in the party. And that ultimately sort of led to the conservative victories that we're kind of still seeing roll on now. I mean, without promising anything, you know, the Liberals here in Australia, the Conservative Party in Australia for our American listeners, you know, they continue to win on that narrative that Labor, the left, is fractured and they don't achieve anything.
Yeah, that is exactly the scenario we're facing. And the left in the party has become not the leaders, but kind of the pariah that people don't want to be associated with them. The centrist Democrats are winning elections. Those on the left are in pretty safe districts. They're not going to lose any elections, but their agenda is not going to carry anybody else.
Another unfortunate piece of news I heard over Christmas, fentanyl. Fentanyl deaths are now the biggest killer of 18 to 45-year-olds in the United States. Previously, you had, you know, suicides, accidents. I mean, there's no good way to go at that age. But yeah, overdoses and opioid addiction, as we've known for a long time, a problem that continues to grow.
Yeah. The only good thing about this is it's made in America, not south of the border. at least you don't have to worry about that. But these think of it this way. This is a sign of a national depression, mental health situation, one that we're facing here. And it's here, it's domestic violence, it's alcohol and gambling. But the times that you grew up in, and certainly I grew up in, were full of hope. And hope seems to be kicked to the curb. And people now don't feel they can achieve their dreams. There probably isn't anyone between 25 and 50 that has a good job that can afford to buy a home in a metropolitan city in Australia or the United States with a decent job. Without help from your family, you can't do it. For some people, that is depressing. That's not the way their parents grew up. That's not what the expectations they have. And so life expectancy determines what your attitude is and the like. And if you don't think you can do what you set out on that trail in life, is whatever it is, be the great artist, the swimmer, the writer, the trader, if you feel like that's hopeless, maybe fentanyl's what you do.
Looking international, Russia and the Ukraine, Russia has been massing troops at the Ukrainian border, and now US and Ukrainian intelligence say they have uncovered plans for a major Russian invasion in early 2022. Ed, what happens now?
Well, this is one where I think Trump, by creating the disunity in NATO, we're going to reap something that we can't blame him for, because, you know, 2019 is so long ago, people don't remember. But when you start taking NATO apart, that reaps a whirlwind. The Russians, from their side, feel the creeping of NATO into their territory weakens them. Furthermore, Putin's personal ambition is to restore Stalin's Russia, bring all those stands and so forth back under Russia. Notice the number of dictatorships, Belarus and so forth, are being propped up by the Russian army and Russian money. And they are beholden to Mother Russia again. So we now have a situation where Stalin has his personal ambitions. They're clashing with the international goals of a stable Europe, where there's a fence, and that fence is the NATO line. I anticipate there's going to be some give on both sides. Some piece of Ukraine is going to be carved out. And the United States, sotto voce, will say, and Biden would say, well, I'm president, there will be no other nations admitted to NATO.
And Boris Johnson has been attempting to stare down calls for him to resign from his position as UK Prime Minister as a series of scandals that members of his government attended parties at 10 Downing Street at a time when folk in the UK were under lockdown and obviously, you know, couldn't do things like Boris Johnson and his cronies. I mean, shocking. Shocking that a bunch of Tories would think the rules for the riffraff don't apply to them. What do you make of this one, Ed?
As you know, he's not one of my favorite people. And I'm not surprised. The man spends more time on his personal desires, interests, and the like than he spends on governing the nation. And he has a short attention span. The sad thing about it is we need a strong Great Britain right now, both for the story we talked about a moment ago, Ukraine, etc. But the tailspin that can occur with the UK out of the EU, the Brexit, can send them into a deep, dark hole. And the only thing where you can hold that together is have a unified government. It's like you did after the war there. Because this Brexit thing is a war, basically, economically. And it's a war that looks like they are losing big time. There are not a set of partners, Australia, the United States, and so forth, that can substitute from the near, with the nearby neighbors like France and Germany. So it's the most insane thing that I want to keep these people out, polls and so forth, for doing all the work we need and cleaning the streets and so forth. And when they're gone, things are going to get better. But I'm not going to clean the streets. I'm not going to work in the factory. I'm not going to provide the labor force necessary to compete. It's just going to happen overnight. Wake up. Wake up, UK. And you need a strong leader to make that happen. It takes a very strong, fiercely united, and the Scots certainly are going to go their own way. So this is the worst of all time for this kind of thing to happen.
And a couple more things before I let you go, Ed. Before we wrap up, Ghislaine Maxwell. Over the break, the former Epstein associate convicted on five out of six counts which she was facing, including sex trafficking of a minor. As with Epstein, obviously, a lot of powerful people potentially wrapped up in this trial, in these matters. Any thoughts?
Well, mate, I got your name scrubbed.
That's a relief.
You know, I wanted to do a little something for you for Christmas.
Pinched it right out of the Rolodex. That's very fortunate.
Picked it right out. So you got nothing to worry about. You won't have a Caribbean holiday this year, but what the heck. She's in the catbird seat now. Think of who she could bring down. And who's going to protect her in prison? So, you know, she has a lot to fear. But wouldn't the smart thing for her do would start dropping names? And all of a sudden, there'd be retrials and this and that. And I can see a scenario where we see her walking down Fifth Avenue with a smile on her face. Because Bill, what was his name? Clinton? So what was that name? What was that guy in Microsoft? What was Gates? These names are powerful names. And I think this is one where the conspiracy theorists have it right.
I think there are a lot of powerful people that might need to take a few lessons from Prince Andrew on how to stop sweating because, And look, just finally, the gift that keeps on giving, the January 6th investigation, Rudy Giuliani and other members of Trump's legal team who pursued his claims of election fraud have now been subpoenaed. Giuliani was already kind of running his mouth like a tap. He's not somebody I'd want taking the stand if I were Trump. Anything to come out of this, Ed?
Well, he'll take the Fifth. This is all for show. They know everything they need to know already. I think the committee is at the point, and I can see this like writing a movie script, where they've got every minute down on what happened and all the backstory about who was talking to whom and how it comes together. And this show is going to be put on the road pretty soon. And Giuliani, after he's taken the Fifth, can't jump up and say, well, that's not so. Why'd you take the Fifth? The same thing goes for all these others. What's his name? Who's going to go to prison for not testifying? Bannon. He's going to have. I don't think any DC jail is a nice place to be for a year.
Well, Ed, look, there's plenty more to come this year, no doubt. We'll be here to capture it all. So, pleasure to get you back on, mate.
Yeah. Let's hope democracy survives and our show survives.
One or the other. You know, I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about. We'll catch you next week, mate. Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest US news and politics as we get into the new year. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a thing. Maybe leave us a review if you're feeling generous. And check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.